But I would always give the recommendation to put yourself into the shoes of a customer, even if you're not shopping your own product. So what we do, for example, is we try to be on the shop floor. We have stores, so it's very easy for us as a team to go to the store and spend time with the customers there. We watch session recordings, for example, where we see what the customer does on the site, where do they get stuck, where is frustration coming up. I try to be on the chat as much as I can with my team to speak to the customer and actually, yeah, understand what they're going through and the questions they have. So I would always say, be with your customer as much as you can.
Hey everyone, welcome back to What's Ecoming, the podcast where we explore the stories behind the brands that are changing the game. Today we're thrilled to have Claudia, the head of e-commerce at Love Stories, joining us. This brand is doing something pretty special in the world of lingerie. Founded by Marloes Hoedeman, Love Stories filled a gap in the market with a fresh approach. It's all about creating lingerie that's as fun and unique as the women who wear it. They stand for comfort, individual style, and embracing who you are. And guess what? It's one of the first brands out there crafted by women for women. That's a big deal in the industry. So let's dive in and learn more about the journey of Love Stories. Let's first talk a little bit about female-founded brands. Do you have any favorites you would like to share with the listeners?
Yeah, man. I think the best brands are female-founded, especially brands we really like. So think about Outdoor Voices, amazing brand, built a huge community. I think always a big inspiration for us if we look at D2C brands. Glossier, of course, by Emily Weiss. And Ritual, not the Rituals from the Netherlands, but Ritual from the States. The vitamin brand, founded by Katrien Schreiner. I think, some of the coolest brands out there at this stage.
And if you look at the Dutch market, are there any specific female-founded brands you really like?
Yeah, for sure. I think it's funny because we discuss quite a lot. We always, like in the States, you see a lot of D2C brands female-founded. In the Netherlands, it's not that big. Or not that many. You, of course, have Anne and Esther Vedder. You have Femke from Vest. My Jewelry, of course, is doing an amazing job. And of course, we have Wakey. I think a really cool brand is the branding is done by the Phony Club. And now we collaborate with Analog for the design. We're building the project. It's going to be something really special. It's going to be launched in Q1. So watch out for that.
Yeah, it's always great to hear these examples of successful companies run and founded by female founders. I personally feel that the female founders have a better feeling for branding and positioning their new companies.
What I see most is that they have a way better feeling for building a community and really like a hype around the product. I think that's what you see with all the examples from the States, but also in the Netherlands, if you look at Anne and Esther Vedder and Femke, that they really build something with a big fan base.
So talking today about female founded and led brands, I'm super happy that for our last episode of this season, we have Claudia as a guest, and we'll dive deeper into her approach to e-commerce and marketing for Love Stories. Welcome, Claudia. It's great to have you on the show, and especially after last year hosting you during the D2C Summit with the George L. Spano. It's great to see you again.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me today.
Maybe there are some people listening who have never heard about Love Stories. Can you tell me a bit more about the brand and what you do at Love Stories?
Sure, I'd love that. Love Stories is a lingerie brand from Amsterdam, founded in 2013. And the brand came out of a passion and a desire for a very comfortable product. So Marloes Hoedeman, our founder, she has an interior background, so a very aesthetically driven person. She was looking for a product for herself and actually couldn't find that. So she was going through department stores here in Amsterdam, was looking for lingerie that fitted her need and her desire and couldn't find something that she liked. And then she was thinking, wow, why is that? Why is everything so confining and so, bras with wires and just not meeting her taste? And then she decided to do it herself. So what we do is lingerie with a very playful aesthetic. We like to mix and match. We're very known for our very comfortable bralettes. A bralette is a bra without a metal underwire. It's a very comfortable product and a product that really enhances your natural shapes. We explored various categories so far. So we also do swimwear. We've explored kidswear also. So kind of this mini me concept. And very recently we added a new product to our range, which is the wired bra, because we realized that with our former approach of the bralette, we're actually excluding a type of customer. So with a certain cup size, you just physically need a different product.
Yeah.
And that's why we added the wired bra. And this is really welcomed by our customer base.
Yeah, it seems like you're doing a really good job in terms of products. I cannot judge that myself, but also in terms of branding and the way it's positioned. It's very unique and stylish, I would call it. And if you look at the last Black Friday, Cyber Monday, and the holiday sales, how has those been for you?
Actually, very successful compared to the year before, where I think the entire industry was just trying to get back on track. And last year was very, very sales driven, I think, for everyone. We've seen a bigger success this year by doing less promotions, for example, and then something like a Black Friday campaign is just this big bang where everyone has been waiting for. So it has been going really well for us.
Nice.
Preparation is always key, obviously. So yeah, the better you set yourself up, the more successful your campaign is.
And has there been something specific in the campaign of which you thought it was very successful or made you excited?
I think for us, it's always the preparation and having multiple options in the drawer. I think that's what makes a team successful. So you can react really fast to what's going on in the market with your competitors or just what your individual business needs.
Yeah, nice. And you also told us before we started the interview about the launch of the new webshop.
Yes.
You just launched it after Black Friday and before the Christmas selling.
Yeah.
Can you tell a bit more about the launch and the journey of the new platform?
We actually had a very interesting year because this was not the only launch. We also did a website relaunch this year. So beginning of the year, we've given the website a complete new look and updated our visual appearance. And then we had the idea to go headless this year. And because of dependencies for other projects and other timelines, we had to go live in Q4, which is something that I've never done before in my career. So the word code freeze didn't exist for us. And we actually managed to go live on the 13th of December with a new platform. And that was a really exciting project to work on. So we moved away from the Adobe license and are running now on a mix of open source and CMS.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's been a crazy, crazy project, really successful also in combination with our agencies. They've done a really incredible job in getting us live in time.
Nice.
The website also looks amazing.
Thank you.
And can you elaborate maybe a bit more on why the switch from to headless?
Yeah, I think what we're always trying to do is to stay flexible. And looking into extending a license with a big partner, there is always a long-term contract that comes with it. And with the landscape in these days and new technology emerging, we wanted to be as flexible as possible. And with headless, we have these opportunities. Also, additionally, we are a very aesthetically driven brand. So content is very important for us as a brand. And with the old setup, we just didn't have the opportunities to play around with the content the way we wanted to do that. And with the Prismic CMS, we now have that. That's really exciting.
And we also work with the Prismic CMS for the Karine project. It's a really nice CMS.
Yeah.
Nice. And did you ever consider, because you're, of course, on Magento, did you ever consider Shopify?
I looked into it, I must say, but never really considered moving.
Okay. Nice. And you said, so at the beginning of the year, you did a rebranding and a relaunch of the website. Yeah. Can you maybe elaborate a bit about the design process, how it went, challenges you had?
Yeah. So I think for everything that we do, we're always trying to combine multiple disciplines. So for the redesign, for example, we did not purely look into UX expertise as an individual discipline. We also involved our own creative team. Our creative team is the tastemaker of the business. They speak the brand language. So it was really a collaboration between our teams and the UX team of our agency. And that was a really interesting process because they could really fuel each other with insights, with new learning. So I think our team really learned a lot about UX design and conversion-driven design versus the UX team from the agency learned about brands that we look up to and get inspiration from. So it was a really nice collaborative project.
And for you, I'm very curious to hear, like, what is a brand you really look up to personally or brand you get excited about?
Yeah, I think it's a bit of a mix. I personally look up to DTC brands a lot, just to see how they do things and what technology they use. And especially when you don't have the dependencies also on your wholesale partners, you can be a lot more flexible in what you do. As a brand, we have a few brands out there that speak our design language and that we're aesthetically connected to. So it's a mix. It's a mix of everything. But as a business and as a team, we get inspiration from all kinds of other platforms and brands.
Yeah.
Nice. And so I think Martijn and me both know Love Stories quite well. We are always quite inspired by the brand. I think you have a really strong online presence as well. Can you maybe elaborate a bit on what you think are the key elements for this successful online strategy?
I think it comes back to what I said earlier for us. It's the flexibility. We are set up in a very lean way so that we can try out new technology. We can react really fast to what the market needs from us. And that lets us play around with things that emerge in the market. And we can deploy things really fast. So I also always think that it's a benefit of just trying things out before you go for a big license, before you go for a big implementation to get learnings and then actually iterate from there. So I think that has helped us in the past that we don't have a lot of legacy to fall back on and can just try things out, learn very fast.
Yeah, that's always good if brands have that mindset. How do you say it again? Feel fast?
Yeah.
Try a lot and see what works and what doesn't work and learn from it.
It's learn fast, fail fast.
Yeah, learn fast, fail fast. And if you look at Love Stories as a brand, it's very customer focused.
Yeah.
What are some of the initiatives to get the right information from your customers, which you can then use within the strategy?
Yeah, so what we do is we're always trying to face ourselves with our customer and what we do in our daily business. We're always trying to put ourselves into the shoes of a customer. So I think we are a very female brand. We're a female team, so it's very easy for us. Obviously, we're all customers of our own product. But I would always give the recommendation to put yourself into the shoes of a customer, even if you're not shopping your own product. So what we do, for example, is we try to be on the shop floor. We have stores, so it's very easy for us as a team to go to the store and spend time with the customers there. We watch session recordings, for example, where we see what the customer does on the site, where do they get stuck, where is frustration coming up. I try to be on the chat as much as I can with my team to speak to the customer and actually, understand what they're going through and the questions they have. So I would always say, be with your customer as much as you can.
Interesting. Have you ever done like post-purchase surveys with your clients?
Yeah, we've done that and we are still doing that. So we're also collecting product reviews, for example. We're using Yotpo to get insights into our product from the customer and then take these insights into either production or into our product descriptions.
So
that's very insightful for us.
That's good to hear. And so I think 2 weeks ago, Foyado was here in the office and they did, so we work a lot with Klaviyo and they were sharing a bit about what they do and things like that. And then they also said that Love Story is also one of their clients. I was just wondering how you utilize Foyado and how it influences what you do on the website.
Yeah, Voyado is a really core and central part of what we do from a CRM perspective, but even from a marketing perspective. Voyado enabled us to get insights really fast and made insights available for everyone in the team. For when it comes to segmentation, audience building, all these kind of things. So we use it for our transactional emails, for our marketing emails, for all kinds of automations, but we're also using it to build customer segments that we then either use in our CRM strategies or feed back into a Meta for audience targeting. So it really enabled us to get insights into how our consumer shops, returns, and behaves on the site.
Nice. And so you already mentioned Meta. Mm-hmm. What has been like the most successful platform for you last year? If you look at the marketing platforms.
For us, it is actually Meta. We are a content brand. We live and breathe our campaigns. We are an aesthetic brand. So Meta gives us the opportunity to tell stories on this platform. And we create content especially for that. So this is really the core of the business. But we've also explored new platforms this year. TikTok has been a really, really fun experience so far. Yeah. And I'm curious to explore that platform more in the next year.
And for TikTok, have you advertised on it already, or is it mainly like...
It is advertising for us. The platform itself is maybe not something that we really feel familiar and comfortable with as a brand. And I think we still have to find our way into it from an organic perspective. But from an advertising perspective, it has been really interesting to tap into a different consumer type. And we see really good results so far.
And do you have a adjusted strategy for your TikTok compared to Meta?
In the beginning, not really. We're just trying to get more insights and actually bring that into the content creation for it. So we're still in a little bit of a learning phase, how the platform works, how the consumer behaves there. So you see differences in Meta versus TikTok, how the consumer behaves with your content, interacts with your content. So these are all things that we still need to bring into our overall strategy.
And for the performance marketing, do you do that all in-house? So really like or is it with an agency?
So the content creation is in-house for us, but the actual operations are outsourced.
Okay.
We always like to work with subject matter experts for certain things. And for our performance marketing, we have found a really strong agency that helps us in there.
And if you look back to last year, or maybe even the year before, has there been a specific marketing campaign which really propelled the growth of Love Stories, where you can elaborate a bit about?
Yeah, I think we are especially successful when we're tapping into topics that are close to what we do. So when it's contextual to our product, our consumer. So I think the moment we touch topics like self-care, self-love, or expressing different body types, these are campaigns that usually outperform our normal campaigns or category campaigns. So if I look back, for example, we've done collaborations with self-studies with Yoni, for example. Self-studies is a sexual wellness brand here from Amsterdam. Yoni, I think, also something you're familiar with. And these campaigns are especially successful because they connect to a wider context of what our product is about.
And in terms of collaboration, so self-studies and Yoni are recent ones.
Mm-hmm.
But I think 2 years or 3 years ago, you collaborated with H&M 2 times.
Yeah, correct.
What was the impact of those collaborations? And are there also more of these type of collaboration in the pipeline?
Yeah, so I think if you look back at the entire history of our brand, there have been quite some collaborations in our legacy so far, of different scale also. And I think it depends a bit at what part of the business, the awareness of the brand, the growth path of the brand you are, what brands you collaborate with. So we've collaborated with very big and known brands, as you mentioned, H&M, but also smaller, more niche brands. And I think we're always trying to, now in recent times, find brands that fit into the context of our product. So something that connects with a consumer. What is laundry doing for you? It is self-care, it is self-expression, right? It's about loving yourself. And we're trying to connect ourselves with brands that also have this mindset.
Ah, great.
And aside from the results of the collaboration, what's your personal favorite collaboration?
Well, I think the self-studies collaboration was one thing that really stuck with me, also because the aesthetics really match for us. And it's just a nice combination of these two products.
Ah, nice. And Love Stories is not only successful online, but also offline. I think you have more than 10 retail locations. Yeah. And from experience or talking to other brands, we know it can sometimes be challenging to have like a unified brand experience. In what way do you see that Love Stories matches the on and offline experience?
Yeah, I think we have the benefit that we're a small team and we have a relatively small retail landscape, and everything comes out of the same team. So everything that we do comes basically from the same set of people. So that allows us to align 360 in all channels that we're playing at. Offline is a little bit different from online because there is a more direct connection to the consumer. When you shop underwear and especially bras, there is a need for a conversation with a consumer and a consultation with a consumer. So 8 out of 10 women don't know their bra size, for example. So you want to help the customer to find the right product, to find the right fit, and help them through also this process of, it can be very challenging sometimes to put it on and see yourself in the mirror. So in retail, you obviously have the benefit of a direct interaction. You can directly interfere, you open the curtain, and you can talk to the consumer and help them to actually find the right product. I think this is a little bit of a challenge for us online, how we intervene in these moments before somebody just leaves and is not sure about to buy or just returns a product. So we're trying to bring this consultation element back into the online world as much as possible. So we have, for example, a fit finder online that helps our consumer to find the right product. And we're actually currently working on making that even better, in measuring yourself better, determining the right size even better, so that you really feel confident in buying the right size and buying the right product for whatever your need is. And we try to help the customer throughout the entire journey. So something that we've been playing around with is, for example, chat prompts. Also, when we see certain behaviors on site, that we go into or try to go into a conversation with a customer in the session they're in right now.
Can you give an example of that?
Yeah, it could, like, for example, be that you see somebody's adding multiple sizes to the basket. That is a good moment to intervene. So I think there are sites like Zara that have an automation that then pops in and asks, are you not sure about your size? Can we help you? But you can also do that with your chat system and then say, hey, do you want to speak to us? Can we help you? Do you want to speak to a customer service representative? I think these are good moments to check in if you can help.
Yeah,
that's cool. And I think that's quite interesting. That's something we don't hear a lot. And how did you set that up, the automation?
Yeah, so we use Gorgeous
for
our chat. And the platform or the solution comes with the opportunity to give these chat prompts depending on certain user behaviors. So then it's just a matter of defining your use case, what it is, either maybe adding too many sizes to a basket or staying too long on the site, inactivity on the site. Really depends on the use case, but it's a good moment then to say, hey.
I think we have homework this afternoon to dive a bit deeper in Georges then. I like the idea.
Yeah, I think it's really clever. And you already mentioned a bit like about the customer service and that you do also check in with the customer service department. And how is it now that you're expanding more globally? Do you still manage it in-house and are there any challenges with that?
Yeah, so we're managing it in-house. It's actually part of my team at Love Stories. And I think from a global expansion standpoint, you see that consumers in different markets also have different customer service needs. One thing is obviously the brand awareness. How well known is your brand? I think here in the Netherlands, we have a lot more repeating customers, so they might know our product and they know more about it versus in other countries. Yeah, there is a little bit more work for us to do. But also the tone of voice has to be different. We are a very intimate product. And I think also our brand language is very intimate. What we've learned is that some cultures don't appreciate that. So we have to adjust our tone of voice also when we speak to them in the chat. So We, for example, use a lot of words like darling, and we try to have a very, very intimate conversation with a customer. Yeah. And some countries or some people just don't like that. And then you have to adjust to these things.
Interesting, because I think it would be make it very personal if you say like, hey, darling.
It is.
But maybe, what type of market doesn't like that approach?
I think there is maybe a tendency within a market. So I see also, I'm German myself, and I see that our German consumer reacts a little bit different to these things. But I think you have to find that out in a one-on-one conversation. So when it is something like a chat, I think the way the customer speaks to you, you have to adapt in that very moment.
Thanks. Thanks for these insights. And I'm curious because you have quite some experience and we already got some great nuggets from our conversation. Mm-hmm. Is there some advice you can give brands who are listening currently for something to focus on maybe for the coming year or something you think that's something to look out to?
Yeah, I think for me, it goes back again to customer centricity. Listen to your customer and do the work. If you want to go the extra mile, be your own customer and do these things. Set up regular reviews with your team where you watch session recordings and where you face yourself with the work you do. If you have stores, go to the shop floor and be out there. And I think that is just something that we are not doing in our daily business often enough. And maybe also because we're all a bit lazy. it is a confrontational approach, but you can learn so much from it. So the moments I'm in an interaction with a customer or I watch a session recording, I learn 10 times more than looking into analytics and trying to make sense out of numbers, let's say.
Yeah, makes sense. And I think the last question for today is for Paul.
Yeah. So looking ahead, so you're quite tech savvy. I think moving to headless is already something that we don't see every day. What do you think, if you look at the tech market and e-commerce, what do you think that are trends that you foresee, at least for the upcoming year, maybe 2 years, and that you think is going to be a game changer or also that you're really excited about?
Yeah, I think there are various things out there that I'm really excited about and what everyone is looking into. So obviously AI, the buzzword.
AI.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
and I think I'm just really excited and curious to see what's still to come. So you see big brands adopting, I would say, almost very complex types, of predicting and using these things. But I'm more interested how this becomes mainstream. So how smaller brands can use these things. I think Shopify already has a lot from an AI perspective to support the business user in making decisions. So that is something very exciting, how it becomes part of our normal day-to-day work. Yeah. And even with the very small things, how teams are adopting it in the daily business. We use it, for example, a lot to write ad copy, to write macros, not necessarily to get the final result out of it, but get inspiration out of it. So it can really speed you up in your exploration phases. That's something I'm definitely excited about. I think social as a commerce channel is something that is probably in our market here still a little bit in the beginnings of it. So whereas other territories are much further than we are here.
If you look what's happening in China with live shopping, it's like.
Exactly. So we're absolutely not there. But I think this will become more and more important here. So what the platforms then offer for businesses to cater to these needs, I think that's really exciting in the upcoming months. And then I think the last thing I'm really curious and excited about is attribution modeling, how this becomes better and more accessible to teams and marketeers. To make sense out of your entire channel mix, how everything plays together, and that these kind of technologies become better and become easier also to understand for a business user.
Great. Thanks a lot for joining today and all your insights. We're going to dive a bit deeper into Georgios for sure. And hope to see you soon.
Yeah, thanks for having me today.
We're super proud that our podcast is sponsored by Shopify. You probably know by now that we're big fans. We have been a Shopify Plus partner for over 5 years, and it's simply the best, most forward-thinking e-commerce platform in the world. And with every episode of the series of What's E-Coming, we're giving away a free Shopify consultation. If you have a Shopify store and you want expert tips on how to improve and optimize your store, please go to podcast.askphil.com and fill in your email address. Our expert team of Shopify consultants will sit down with you for 30 minutes, giving you great insights into making the best from your store. Once again, go to podcast.askphil.com. Fill in your email address and we'll get in touch with the lucky winner. Good luck. So thanks for listening today. Please like and subscribe to our podcast channel in your favorite podcast app. See you next time.